Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Welcome back. It has been a great weekend, and here we are back to business again. It is Monday, the 21st of November, 2022. For my American friends, Thanksgiving is coming up this Thursday. This is the week. It's time to get ready. Welcome to On the Clock. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. I wanted to do an open line style show this morning, but I want to say this. I am not prepared to delve into FTX at this moment, right? I, On the Clock, is not prepared to delve into FTX at this moment. There's some things I feel comfortable talking about, and then there are some things I do not feel comfortable talking about. I think that there are some things that I need to learn before I offer any commentary on what I see, you know, but I can. If we talk about it, I can let you know. I may cut you. I may ask you to stop right there. I may have my producer cut you, right, with some keywords, because the cases are before the courts. And of course, we don't want to say or do anything that would jeopardize justice in this matter. Sometimes it's just because you know something or want to talk about something doesn't mean that you should talk about it. In fact, I'm going to do what I've been asking about the whole time, right? FTX reminds us that we're all called to do what we know we ought to do when we know we ought to do it. As adults, we should do what we know we're supposed to do when we know we're supposed to do it. Right? A part of the reason I don't really want to delve into FTX today is because I'm a little bitter. All of these things that are coming up, all of the critique that people are offering, you know, I didn't say these things a long time. Right? Even in today's paper, the question of whether the local regulatory regime has the capacity to manage processes like these. Right? So I'm a little frustrated because I know we have the capacity to do this. I know that. Right? But we're going to sort of let that sit for a moment. So the numbers to call in today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Now, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about this morning. We're going to try and get to all of it. Jollification was this weekend at the Bahamas National Trust. I thought it was a great event. Now, I was a vendor at the event. Full disclosure, I was a vendor at the event. But the Sand Dollar special, they paid your way in if you were a member and took $10 off the price if you were a non-member. I had some Sand Dollars. It moved smoothly. our booth, we were receiving payment in sand dollar as one of the options. We had no issues. It just moved really smoothly. I really liked it. We're going to talk about that a bit more. And then a little later in the show, I want to talk about some of the ideas that came up for me while I was at Jollification. It's a great place. I mean, there were so many ideas out there realized, brought to fruition, right? We're going to talk about those a little later in the show. So I saw that there were, I want to confirm, I have seen stories about 4 traffic fatalities over the weekend. But I can't confirm all of them. I think on the news this morning, we would have heard about a traffic fatality in Eleuthera and a traffic fatality on Carmichael Road. And over the weekend, I read about a traffic fatality in Acklands and possibly a traffic fatality in South Andrus. 4. If my information is correct, that's 4 fatalities in the space of one weekend. It's time for somebody in the government to acknowledge that we have a crisis in this country. We need immediate action to reset the attitudes about driving in the Bahamas. And straight down to the bottom. Your government drivers, your red plates, your black and white plates, even your diplomatic corps plates can be witnessed on the road, engaging in all manner of things. But surely, if the government has just passed a law restricting the use of your cell phone while you're driving, why are people in red plates blatantly driving with cell phones in their hands, reading their phones while they're driving? Let these 4 fatalities on this one good weekend be the proof that those who are in charge need to realize that they need to do something different, they need to do something drastic, and they need to do something now. And people could get upset at me. I don't mind if you don't like Erin Green. I don't mind at all, you know, if you don't like me. I've seen people who, in response to my commentary on the radio, have decided that they're going to run the stop sign and red light. And I've seen people do it in front of me. Now, that's a sad state of affairs, right? That you would cut your nose off to spite your face. You would risk other people's lives because it's more important to prove to Erin Green she can't control you. She can't tell you what to do on the road. You're going to run that stop sign if you want to. You're going to drive your gas truck in slippers, eating your breakfast if you want to. Like I said earlier, there were plenty signs about FTX. I'm not making any indictment on who was responsible for what happened. But if you look at how we drive, if you look at how we interact with each other on the road, all of the indicators are there. Everything you need to know about your country, about your people, about how they communicate with each other, how they live with each other, what they think of each other, everything you could find right in that traffic. You just watch it. Every lesson is right there for you. Great show as usual, Miss Green. How come people who can't cook always bring in food to the family function? Miss Green, you ain't serious. Traffic fatality in Acklands. Question, what would a person hit in Acklands? You only on the road. I'm 100% sure about 13 cars in Acklands. You should check that report out. So the text is saying he don't believe it happened. And I thought the text is saying, how could it happen? Like, how is it possible for that to happen? If the roads are bad, if there are potholes in the road, if the roads are poorly lit, then that's an indicator that you must slow down. You know? That's a sign to you, for your safety, you should slow your car down. It amazes me. It amazes me, the excuses that people offer. Oh, I didn't see the pothole in the road. How did you not know the pothole was in the road? The pothole live in the road. The pothole have its own street address and BPL connection. This is an indicator, Bahamas, that something is drastically wrong. So you got to get a CDL license, commercial driver's license. Well, they need to revamp the entire system. They need to revamp the test for regular, ordinary drivers, let alone your commercial drivers. Since I started talking about the CDL license on the radio, the behavior of a number of drivers, it's just escalated. They have decided, many of them, that they just gonna be bullies then. They don't care about the law and the rules. There's one rule. Biggest truck win, right? That's the rule. Biggest vehicle on the road wins. But if you are you on your cell phone while you sliding your 18-wheeler into a roundabout, ain't no rule for you, eh? Producer, let's go to this call. Good morning, caller. You on the clock?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron Servadat. How you doing?
Good, good.
Great. Your weekend, I hope your weekend was great.
Yeah, man.
All right, great. This is an open line.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, okay. Now, I heard you was discussing, I don't want to take you from your trend, which was talking about tonight, but when I first heard you was discussing about an event that you attended and you were a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. My question to you, as a person who did, what it was, Bitcoin, I mean, Sandal or something like that, basically,
yeah.
Okay, what's the risk on Sandal, whatever, however, the reason I ask that is I can give you an example. Okay,
mm-hmm.
If I own a company and my money is insured, my paper money is insured,
mm-hmm.
And I own a company, but I have SAD dollars. But as I understand, there's no insurance coverage on SAD dollars and bitcoins and stuff like that, like the
okay.
paper money.
Oh, right, right. So there's a distinction.
Mm-hmm.
The SAD dollar is not the same thing as a bitcoin. Both
right.
are digital, but the SAD dollar is your Bahamian fiat. That's your Bahamian dollar issued by the central bank.
Mm-hmm.
Transferred electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. Don't mind they
okay.
call it a stable coin.
So the SAD dollar, which was issued by the, what you said, the central bank, basically?
Yeah.
So that's insured.
I imagine it is insured. I don't
know.
No.
Aaron, that's a serious question. You can't
right.
imagine that.
No. What I'm saying is I'm going to find out, but let's make this distinction right now.
Yes, ma'am.
SAD dollar is not a cryptocurrency. It's not a
Bitcoin.
I know.
I understand all that, but I understand. But from what I've been told by someone who deals with that situation, that the SAD dollar even has no insurance coverage, like your paper money. That's what I understand. Now, I don't know how true it is, but the reason I asked you that because you are part of an event, and basically, it seems like people are using the SAD dollars to purchase things.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Hello.
Right here.
It's Miami. I think, Aaron, right, I don't think that the people, especially people in this country, see, I don't like to speak about abroad, because I got to speak where I live.
Yeah.
I don't think the majority of Bahamian people can ever go to any sand dollar bitcoins. You know why? Because Aaron, from the time I know myself, right? The only thing I'm used to as a child is coins. Then you graduate to paper. Then at this point in my life as a man, you graduate to cards, like Visa cards, MasterCards, or debit cards, whatever.
Right.
So people, I could be real with you, Aaron. I don't think much behaving people now. Maybe when they have events, people might change the money up and the sand all there. Mm-hmm. But to say that they ever overpower the dollar, the paper, or the card, never.
Well,
never.
Do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Sand dollar is, I think, a necessity for many sectors of the society, right? Like we
yes,
say,
ma'am.
It's not crypto. Sand dollar is just your digital Bahamian dollar.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? One thing we know is that family islanders are going to be relying on sand dollar, and they're going to be relying on vendors that use sand dollar, right?
But watch this. You could have an event now, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can have majority of people at that event collecting the money. Money, real money. I mean, I understand the event. Some events you change the money up in the sand dollars to spend,
right.
But at the end of the day, Aaron, that push there, I could be honest with you. I don't think.
Do it.
I don't think, this morning, my humble opinion,
yeah.
I don't think much Bahamians gonna invest in the sand dollar or anything like that, because ain't nothing like that paper, Aaron.
Well, do it.
Ain't nothing like that paper.
Give me a second, right?
See, yes, ma'am.
I appreciate what you're saying. What you're saying is that cultural and personal attitudes towards money, how we feel about money, how
right.
we spend money, how we
right.
how we store our money when we walk in the road, that all of these things are very important, right? They're a
right.
big part of our lives. And so what we're talking about is a conversation about how we feel and about money and handle it and the shifts that we're going to make. And so what I'm saying is, for family islanders and people who do business with family islanders, most importantly, right?
Uh-huh.
Understanding sand dollar is going to be important, because with
Aaron, before I go, I don't mean to cut you off. You ever think of places like maybe U.S. government facilities for now, or government ministries,
agencies
for a better word. Thank you for the correction. Do you think that Bahamas here will fully go into sand dollar? I mean, into our sand dollar? I mean, paying fully into that? I don't think so.
Well, listen, think about it. That's a perfect example. Airports around the world are going cashless. Right? They are refusing to receive cash. And the only time you would possibly use cash is to tip a porter. Right?
Yeah. Aaron, I had first-hand experience with that July.
Right.
Coming from the airport. When you go to get your car, your rental car, buddy, you don't put out no money to them thing. You got to have a car.
Right. And so this is why sand dollar is needed.
Yeah,
because we're gonna go.
I get paper on the card.
I got you.
Yes,
I got
ma'am.
You. Thank you.
Have a good one, Aaron. You have a good one.
Absolutely.
That's wrong.
Right, and we understand attitudes like that, right? But what you're going to begin to see is that not everybody has the luxury. Right.
Well,
not everybody.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
Has the luxury of holding that position. And so it's going to be very important for vendors to understand the importance of being able to engage and do business with family islanders that are going to be primarily trading in sand dollar. Now, in terms of the festival, I thought that was a great idea, right? The great question that Dewitt raised, because one of the benefits to having a sand dollar or digital currency option at your festival is that it reduces the amount of cash concentrated in one spot. And for instance, for this particular festival, with the road works going on Village Road, it would have been extremely difficult for security companies to come in regularly throughout the event and collect cash to deposit. Right? It's already difficult to do that, but given the circumstances of the roadway, it would have been even more difficult for that to happen. So having that option is, I think, is vital if we want to do large events in the given climate, right? So we got Family Island, right? And then we got security. Those are two big, big issues that we're dealing with. Then here's the next thing, right? You ever wanted to go to the store and you forget that you spent some of your money and you don't have enough money to do what you wanted to do? But you don't really want to go to the ATM at night? It's another sort of security issue, but it's more of a convenience issue, right? Being able to pull out that sand dollar when you don't have enough cash on you. Maybe complete the whole transaction in sand dollar instead of having to figure out how am I going to get to the ATM in time. Having this option is the most convenient. It's just, right? But what I really appreciated about what DeWitt raised is that you in the Bahamas, baby, if you don't understand Bahamians' relationship with money, with making money, with keeping money safe, with storing it, if you don't understand how Bahamians spend money, how they feel when their money in their hand, these are the things that you have to begin to understand, right, when we approach this. How do we shift attitudes around money? I'm so sorry, Carl, I kept you so long. Good morning, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. DeWitt caused me to call, especially when he said somebody in the field told him that thing, whatever it is he's trying to explain. Can I try to simplify sand dollar?
Well, I think, listen, it is, in short.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
sand
yeah.
Sand dollar is the digital version of your paper money. It's the exact same money. Okay, it has nothing to do with cryptocurrency, though it's on a crypto platform for security purposes, as well as the blockchain. But for people who don't have sand dollar, can think of it very much as a debit card like you get from the bank, except you now have it in a digital wallet. And as more as digital wallets becomes acceptable, sand dollar, as well as other payment
platforms,
vehicles,
yeah,
will also be in digital format. My PayPal is both in Visa, online, and in the very digital wallet type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so but what it does, though, for individuals who cannot have bank accounts or can't provide an ID or anything of that sort, and neither have the enough money sufficient to keep in the bank so they don't incur fees, this becomes an ideal environment for them to actually keep in their wallet, and you basically almost do seamless money transfers between each other without a fee across the archipelago in the Bahamas. And I'm sure eventually, with some form of maybe even some limited authorization, I mean limited amount, you will be able to do country transfers between each other from your Bahamian dollar, because it's a Bahamian dollar. You know, when you send it to Haiti, when it reaches Haiti, it's no longer sand dollar; it becomes their digital dollar.
Yeah.
And the United States and other people are adopting the CBDC, which is Central Bank Depository Coin, which is 100% digital money. I have some concerns about CBDCs, period, which I don't want to interject here.
Yeah, because like AC Allen, when I go in the store to spend my money, I like to hold it. I like to look at it.
Yeah,
and I like to touch it and say goodbye. It don't feel the same, right? But that's one of the things I have, shifting away from that.
Right, but I'm saying that, like, for instance, you know, you keep your money, you lose your money, whatever. Well, you can lose your phone and without your password and biometrics, whatever, your money is still safe. Lose your wallet, your money gone.
Yeah.
And so it's somewhere we have to do to accelerate our switch to digital. More so for those mom and pop stores in the inner cities and other places that, you know, may be subject to being robbed and other things. It becomes such a valuable tool. And the beauty about it is, I don't know. have a bank account, you will have the ability to send money back to the bank account as well as to put money back
onto the wallet.
Actually into the wallet. So it becomes a transparent means of basically facilitating. For those people who have to call an arm or truck, I know I may not want to hear this, if 99% or 90% of your transaction was in the digital format, you wouldn't need an arm or truck.
There you go.
You don't need that cash as petty cash in the thing because everything will be happening digitally. It's this conversation that we have to have concerning the digitization of the Bahamas. We saw the need for it when we had COVID.
Yeah.
And then we have come, we revert right back to where we were.
Yeah, we got to push forward with this conversation, Seattle.
What we need to do is instead of two steps forward, one step back, we need to go three steps forward, no step back.
Absolutely. And we got to encourage people who would rather stay static, right? That you have to live with that discomfort because the Bahamas needs to evolve for all of us.
Yeah,
you know.
Aaron, do you know I have people who's afraid to put cash into the ATM because they don't show the bank to get it?
Boy, look, I gotta go to a break, C. Allen. I have. That's sort of like giving money to your parents. You don't know if you ever can get it back, C. Allen. I don't blame them. Anyway, we gotta go to this break. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk a bit more. I have a headline here. Well, I have a title here, State and Community Responses to Crime. And then I wanted to talk to the leader of the opposition for a moment. Absolutely. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We will be right back. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Size of money. Size of money is a lot of fun. You got size of money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test, always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Run, boy, run. Run, boy, run. Run, boy, run. Boy, you got tomato money. Tomato money never done. Tomato money.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. Let's get to these texts. Ms. Green, I totally agree with you that something has to be done about the way people are driving in the Bahamas. It's to the point now where I hesitate to go on the road, especially at night when most drivers refuse to dim their headlights. Look here. A lot of drivers need glasses to drive at night. A lot of street lamps are not working, and there are lots of roadways where there are not enough lights. I am with you. We got a serious problem going on. Thank you, Texter. The Texter says paper money is not insured, but I got to confirm all of that. I keep on telling you Nassau Drive is special, and I mean that in a derogatory way. We should walk. No more cars, just walk. Well, listen, it's a whole bunch of things. It's a cultural thing. First of all, we need properly functioning public transportation. We are forcing people who should not be behind the wheel of a car to drive. We're forcing them. They should be able to rely on public transportation. Not enough people are taking tests, and not enough people are going to proper driving schools. Texas says, can we do a show where we call out family members who don't know how to cook Thanksgiving dinner but insist on cooking it? No, man, that's you choosing violence today. Another text, and we coming to you, callers. If you have a credit card, you don't need a sand dollar. Not everybody could get a credit card texter. Let's go to the call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I am sorry, caller. I see, producer, let's go to that one quickly. I'm going to wait for you, caller. Sand dollars for people who are marginalized from mainstream banking. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, the other line, 323, that public note, that not clear.
Okay, I'll let my producer know as
well.
You
probably have another hang-up on it.
Yeah, okay, I will do. All right.
Need to call me to fix that. Listen, when will we do an education on the transformation of dollars? Because, you know, the United States already started their education. Yeah, U.S. going digital in the next 2 years.
We're going to start it before the end of the year, Pumpkin Eater.
What is this?
Yeah, conversation coming soon.
Next year, next month, is last month.
But it's going to start and extend throughout the next year. It's going to be an ongoing conversation. It has to be ongoing. It has to be consistent, right? And it has to be accessible. And here's sort of what I mean. You got to have your little flyers, and you got to have your little poster boards in the store, showing people how to do it. And you're going to listen.
Also, let them know, dollar will be flowing. There'll be a phase in. Dollar's not going to phase out.
Right, and those are some more things as well to quell the concerns that it's not going to be immediate. The police come and collect all your paper money.
Because you don't want to cause an alarm on the older person. Because one older person approached me, Punky, are we going to still use dollar next 2 years? I said, our dollar's going to flow and take phase out.
Yeah, and you
and
see...
that's going to be a long time. You're talking about 20 years or maybe 10 years or
See, when you have a car, you get in your car and go to the bank at any time.
Of course.
And go to the ATM at any time. Right?
Of course. You still got the old record playing, eh?
Right. Your wife running on and she need money and she didn't warn you and tell you and she need the money. Just put it in the hand, you jump in the car at midnight and go get some more money for the morning.
Pumpkin,
if you don't have transportation, right?
Uh-huh.
Then having a digital wallet, right, means that you have more agency. You don't have to go to the bank to be able to spend your money.
Of course.
You got your digital wallet.
Now, here's the main problem now with disability. Some of them cannot take out their stuff and hold it up in the air.
Yeah.
I think the government needs to stop, and the central bank needs to start working with the airport and other places where disabled have to go. Like you mentioned, you went to what you call it down in British Road. What you call it again? National Trust?
Yeah.
Area, you got a recommendation, whatever that called.
Mm-hmm.
I called it right? Where you being?
Yeah, Village, the retreat on Village Road,
right.
National Trust, yeah.
Right. That probably would have been a problem for people with disability.
Well, but.
People ain't thought about that.
Hold on. They are usually, no? The jollifications and the events that I've
attended. I remember jollifications.
Right. The events that I've attended there. They have been very conscious, right? Ability conscious.
Okay.
The difficulty this year with accessing the festival grounds was the roadworks on Village Road,
right,
which caused them to change the nature of the entrance, the main entrance. But you still had accessibility through the side entrance.
No, I don't mean that yet. Okay, I cool. I talk about when they talk about if they had dollar on their cell phone. Would it help or helping them?
Yes.
Okay.
Man, listen, they had a sand dollar booth, and then Sun Cash was the participating vendor, and both the Sun Cash and Sand Dollar vendors, they took their time with you to explain how to download the apps, how to set them up, how to use them. I did run back and forth about two or three times because I forgot how to use it. Like that, they reminded me. The vendors selling products, The vendors selling products were great with the device. It was quick and easy to learn. And so people with disabilities would have gotten great support from both of those vendors, Sand Dollar and then the participating app vendor, you know?
That sounds good. I didn't know you had a stall there. I would have come and contribute to your stall. What you were selling?
Man, I can't pay the people to advertise what I was selling. Just remember. Anyway,
but I didn't know you were there. Most important thing, I didn't know you were there.
Yeah, a line of, we produce a line of local produce value-added stuff, products.
That's time, I have to come directly to your store.
Yeah, man, but look here, I got to go.
All right, have a good day.
I got to go. We having breakfast together. It was great. Sure. Thank you for calling in. And thank you for raising that issue, right? Accessibility of the Sand Dollar by people with disabilities. And I think this is also going to be a bonus and a benefit for that community as well, especially considering a number of businesses haven't gotten themselves disabilities friendly, like compliant with the existing regulations. And it's quick and easy. You flash your phone at the code, you hit a few buttons, and the transaction is complete. I got a text said it says, please tell all those referring to Thanksgiving dinner that it is not a real thing in the Bahamas and they can skip it entirely. Dear texter, I think you underestimate the relationship between the Bahamas and the U.S. And while normally I'd tell you, look here, we sovereign nations, you know, culturally in this space right here, it is more complex than you think it is. Now, the Bahamas does not celebrate Thanksgiving, right? And many of us stand in solidarity with the indigenous people of the Americas in this moment. But we also recognize that many people use this occasion not to celebrate colonialism, but to celebrate family, to come together, to love one another, right? And so we're not going to skip it entirely. We're going to understand the complexity of our relationship. Okay, the texter says, no, I understand that. But our greedy selves can skip it. Are you saying we don't need another food holiday? I with you. We need to shift the culture around how we consume food. And maybe focusing on quote-unquote holidays that are primarily about food consumption would be a great way to shift our minds to healthier lifestyles. I got you, texter. I got you. Okay, so here's a couple of the things I wanted to talk about, right? State and community responses to crime. I want to ask, do we need new strategies or do we just need more police? Right? And so like the same thing with traffic, I would say, do we just need greater police presence on the road? Would police presence act as a deterrent and be effective? Or do we need different types of strategies? Right? Do we need different types of strategies for policing the roads and crime generally? Is the response to gang activity and violence draining the resources of the police? Right? Is that what's happening? Is it that by the time the policeman encounters a traffic fatality or a traffic incident, the police officer is like, listen, this is minor, this is mild compared to what I have to deal with in my day. I don't have enough spoons for this. I cannot pay attention to that. I got to keep moving. Is that what is happening? And then, of course, will more effective border control strategies help? And this is across the board with poaching as well. It's taken a big bite out of our local fishing industry. Another question, what about CCTV? See, like Sand Dollar and digital currencies, CCTV requires a shift in culture and cultural attitudes, how we feel about privacy. Are we willing to give up some of our privacy for safety? Not necessarily our own safety, but the safety of those who are more vulnerable than us. can CCTV work on New Providence? Producer, I see we got a caller there. Another question, are there too many people in New Providence? Is that all it is? Are there too many people on the island? Let's get a caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. All right, caller, if you call in from that 323 number, please try 325-4316. That's 325-4316 and 325-4259. If you call 323-6232 and you get static, call the other numbers, right? And so in terms of our responses, state and community to crime, is it that there are too many people in Nassau, in New Providence? For family islanders, the density of people must be uncomfortable, to say the least. It has to be uncomfortable for family islanders, sort of jammed into tight-knit communities in New Providence when they used to have in so much space to themselves. What about population resettlement and return? I can't remember if it was the 2002 or the 2012 PLP administration that had focused, I think it's 2002, had focused on these anchor projects, right? Where they were trying to draw major investment to the family islands. And they were looking at major hotels, right? Still stuck in the tourism model. But in an effort to entrench an economic mechanism large enough to attract the businesses and infrastructure necessary for population resettlement. So you get a big project in, and you simultaneously bring in the employees for the hotel, and then encourage the development of business and services to support the growing population on the island. Texas says, on the matter of crime, as Bishop Jake says, it will work if you work it. We have not enforced or enacted the strategies we already have. Let's enforce the laws already on the books, and too many people are in Nassau. Now, I appreciate what you're saying in terms of enforcement, and have we properly invested in the strategies we have already had, right? And I agree with that perspective and that approach. The question is, have some of those strategies become obsolete? Have we evolved past the effectiveness of those strategies, and we need newer strategies? Another text. Those people on the family island don't want us Nassau people on their island. No, I agree with you. We're talking about people who have become Nassauvians, right? Because of a lack of employment on their island, because of a lack of services, basic services on their island. That's what we're talking about. Because the question is, can we encourage people to move back to the family islands without building proper facilities and systems? I don't know if y'all saw this story. Abaco Community Center plan scrapped and redone. This was on our news, if not last week, the week before. Apparently, the community center and hurricane shelter proposed by the former administration were described as inadequate, according to Disaster Reconstruction Authority Chairman Alex Storr. The project, which broke ground in May 2021, had a $1.8 million price tag with a capacity of 800 people. However, Storr doesn't seem to think the current building can handle those numbers. Storr says the new plan is for a contract to be issued in early December with a completion date of 2023. How can you encourage people to move back to the family islands? You can't build proper hurricane shelters. I didn't say you know how to designate buildings for hurricane shelters. I don't know if you know how to build them. How do you encourage people to go back to the family island and you wouldn't even build them a proper hurricane shelter in a hurricane zone? Anyway, y'all go read that article, because I'm reading the article, right? And it says, back in May 2021, the Minnesota administration revealed that a partnership with the DRA, Bahamas Hope Foundation, Saul Relief, and Ernst & Young would build the center. Can we get a report from them indicating why the center wasn't built? What they contributed? Whether they got those contributions back? Whether those have been put in escrow for the continuation of this building? And why won't y'all let the people who build the government complex in Abaco build a hurricane shelter? The government complex in Abaco became the de facto hurricane shelter after many of the buildings designated as shelters did not survive the storm. And I don't care if the then prime minister broke convention and focused a significant amount of energy and resources and time on his own constituency when he's supposed to be running the government, because that is the building that became the hurricane shelter. Why aren't y'all letting the people who build that building build the hurricane shelter? And why wouldn't you just continue building this hurricane shelter and then build more? You still have to build more on Abaco. You can't just build this one. So why didn't y'all just complete that and then start with another one? Anyway, just as we're closing out the show, I got some more questions about crime. Will eradicating poverty, will getting rid of poverty entirely reduce crime, or is crime our culture? I put crime in quotation marks. Is crime our culture? Is being a part of the counterculture our identity in an imperialist, neo-colonialist global system? What that means is, if none of the systems that were in place when we were enslaved and called naturally wrong, right? If those very same systems are still in place, right? The systems that were in place when we are enslaved, if those systems are still in place today, does it mean that that is our identity? We could only be gangsters in a system that says that we are not legit. Or is the counterculture the legacy of these islands used for hundreds of years to escape, to hide, and as safe haven? Is this crime thing a result of poverty, or is it just the nature of ourselves and the islands that produce us? I know it's a big question, but I had to throw it out there. I got another question on regulating rental cars to reduce crime. What if all rental cars are required to have a tracker by law, and the owners of all rental cars are required to keep logs and to make that data available to the police with a court order? Or to my lawyer, because I'm trying to figure out who thief my car that I was renting. And maybe cars should be checked once a year for stolen parts. And maybe that yearly check should be mandatory if you're selling the car to another company or to a private citizen, or the car is leaving the island or leaving the country. I got some more questions about crime. Why steal coconuts when you could start a coconut industry? You could offer a coconut tree cleaning service with harness or cherry pickers. Gotta have equipment. You could offer a tree cleaning service, and you could take a percentage of the coconuts in lieu of cash. That's like instead of cash. And then when you cut up all them coconuts and pour out all the water and scrape out all the soft jelly, what you doing with the rest of the trash? What you doing with the coconut meat? What you doing with the husk? What you doing with the shell? And why are you charging me so much money if you prepared to throw so much money in the bush? Has anybody talked about what's required to turn coconuts into industry? Anybody teach you how to husk a coconut without a cutlass? Tomorrow we're going to talk about how many products we can make from coconut trees. I got a long list. I got to add to it. My list wasn't complete. How many things you could make from coconut trees? And producer, I see we're all out of time. That's a good thing. See, because I saw this article in today's paper. It says, it's in the Tribune. It says, Pintard says should resign over BPL failure. I think it's time for a moment of silence for the leader of the Royal Opposition, the leader of the FNM. The FNM administration, well, it's not this administration, the same FNM party that was involved in the Alstom affair. Nobody from the FNM should ever make any hard statements about BPL. In fact, no politician should ever rear up about BPL. That's why the constant commentary is necessary, because they forget they're the reason why your power bill is the same as your mortgage. They forget they're the reason why you cannot afford to have power on in your house and insure your children. I couldn't even, anyway, we out of time. Dear Mr. Michael Pintard, please focus on important things, like coming to the Bahamian people and telling us what has happened to BPL under the FNM's tenure. We haven't seen the report on the investigation for the fire. We haven't had a clear statement from the FNM on the resolution of the Alstom and Ramsey case. Thank you, producer. Because by the time I get to Phoenix, my power may be off. Anyway, that was just a little joke. Thank you, producer. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM is up next.